Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Bobes, and this is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTube creator. And it is the 21st of June, the summer solstice today. Another hot day ahead of us, which will be lovely. I suggest if you've got any containers, it might be worth sticking some water into them. I think I should be doing that today. In fact, I shall write myself a note. Just in case we start to see water shortages. And the reason I say that is they are going to try and obliterate farming. We know that. And I think farmers could do with some water. And that's how they'll get rid of the farm crop, or at least decimate it. So they won't get rid of it completely today, but you know, it will take time, but they will slowly but surely. So you never know. If they suddenly start turning water off, just making a note actually, fill containers with water. I've got containers. I just put that on. I've got logs coming as well. Today, I've got logs coming. I'm not saying this will happen, but, you know, to be prudent, it might be worth it. It's half past, well, it's 20 to 8 in the morning, and the logs could come from any time after 8. We just had a mild panic, not a panic, but, you know, when we were away last night, and when we came back in, put my phone down, couldn't find it this morning, trying to find out if it was actually the 21st. Oh, that's very strange. Cat had some food. I put the remnants outside because it was attracting flies in the house. So I just put them outside and looks like the flies have flown off with it. Did you move the... What did you do with the meat that was on it?
Bagged it?
Oh, well done. Yeah, we can't put the meat straight, you know, if the cat leaves some and it goes off, we can't put it in the bin anymore because it just attracts the flies. And then the other day I had maggots all over the bloody floor from their eggs that they lay, and I had to bleach the floor in the end, which was not much fun. So I have more logs coming. I'm just making sure there's plenty of space, which I think there is. I'm just going to sit outside for a minute. It's so lovely. First thing in the morning, you know, it's nice at, say, 6 o'clock, but didn't get a chance this morning. We went to help out at Dr. Tess Laurie's book launch. She's got a book called Game of Trust. She sent it in the week. I was hurriedly reading it because I was interviewing her at her book launch for a release and a video, which they filmed. And there was, I suppose, about 50 people there. And it was a lovely evening, nice people, canapes and this, that and the other, you know, all very sophisticated. I don't know that I should have a book launch as such, although Hope Sussex have said they would be happy to host an event. I suppose it would be a book signing event and people could buy the book. I've just noticed some of my socks are still outside here, covered in little creatures. Let me just put them up here on the line where I shall remember to take them in. But that was in Wiltshire, and it was at a place called Griffin Estate, 3.5 hours. And yesterday, getting from Worthing, going west, was quite horrific. Except that, because of the traffic, of course, Google Maps took us on a diversion, which was very nice, actually. I mean, it was a lovely back way past Stonehenge, but on back roads through these wonderful villages across Salisbury Plain and where the army do their manoeuvres and practices and things. And we did actually see some trucks and stuff, because I have been along those sort of roads before and then never seen anything. And you think, do the army ever do anything? But this time, yep, there were some army trucks. Although you go past this signage that says tanks and has pictures of tanks, and you're expecting these great big tanks to come lurching out, and I've never seen one of those. But there were some army, you know, trucks, just, I suppose, lorries. but were troop carriers, so that the blokes can run around and do whatever exercises they do, ready for deployment wherever they've got to go, I suppose. Anyway, we got there, and interestingly, just before we arrived, we passed this lovely estate wall, dry stone walling, and then some estate fencing, and then we went past this gatehouse, and as we approached it, I went, hang on, we've been here before. And 4 years ago, it must have been, 4 years ago, no, I'm sure it was, it may have been 4 years ago, maybe in 2020, I think. I'm just trying to think whether COVID had happened or not. I think it had. I think it was 2020. We were in Wiltshire, and we made a series of films in Wiltshire. Don't remember seeing any masks in... Oh, yes, actually, at Laycock we did. Anyway, this was fairly near Laycock, Griffin Estate, but not too close to it. Anyway, we saw this beautiful gatehouse, and we'd stopped, and in one of our videos we'd got out and filmed it 4 years ago. 4 years later, we are actually in that estate, but we get to it by a different entrance, and that was fascinating. It's funny, isn't that strange? You see a place and you think, wow, I wonder what's on the other side of this. I wonder who owns this, and then you drive away thinking, oh, well, that's some, you know, rich person's estate, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then later on in life, bang, there you are, back again. But this time you're more privileged to it, only because we were at an event, and it was very nice. Well, this part of it was very nice, but apparently the guy who owns it, he made his money from Nando's, which of course is now a sort of multinational chain of shops, but I guess he sold his business and bought the several billion pound estate. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. If anybody wants to buy the Richard Vobes YouTube channel show for a million or two, just let me know. If you fancy turning it into a multinational something or other, just send me the money. That would be lovely. The sky is sunny, as I hinted at earlier. There is some speckled cloud up there. Looks all right. Looks like a islands, a sort of archipelago of islands of cloud in a sea of blue looking up above me, which is very lovely. I'm going to try and think of something to talk about in today's video. I do feel like I'm sort of running out of things to talk about in the old Richard Vobes videos now, mainly because I'm not watching all the news, and therefore you're not talking about what's current. Somebody was asking me, because I said at this event yesterday, and they were talking to me about the fears they had for World War III and all this sort of stuff. And I said, well, to be honest, I don't watch it. I don't engage with it, so I'm not worried about it. What you don't know, you're blissfully ignorant. Why go through life fretting when something may or may not happen anyway? And we've been having these sort of worries about war and all this for decades. You know, we remember the 60s and the... all the missile bases that were set up and what have you. And, you know, it's... why are we all worried about it? It never seems to happen. I'm not actually convinced that the nuclear bombs are genuine anyway. I've heard conflicting stories about that. And, of course, these days I've got an open mind to a number of different things. And going, okay, it's maybe possible. I'm not just going to accept what mainstream media and paid scientists tell me. I shall keep an open mind. Now, that, of course, lends you to any crackpot theory, but it doesn't mean that you have to adhere to it, but you're open to it, you know. It's like, okay, I'll just bear that in mind. I don't know if it's true or not. the nuclear thing. But anyway, this guy was gabbling on about it, and he said, "Oh, surely," when I said I don't really watch any of this news, he said, "But surely you're commenting on it, so you'll need to watch it, otherwise you won't know what to comment on." Excuse me, blowing my hooter. I thought, well, that's very true, of course. I ought to. But what am I commenting on? I'm commenting on fear that may or may not be true in the first place. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch it myself. And B, I don't want to pass on comments of fear in the channel. So I do feel now I'm becoming less relevant to the big audience that came along initially, because I've gone down the rabbit holes, I've listened to all the things, I've got my idea of what's going on. Julia and I know we just want to go and get our bit of land and have a quiet, peaceful, boring life, really. Not boring to us, there'll be little challenges, maybe some big challenges, but I don't want to be concerned with stuff on the other side of the world or in countries or events that I have no ability to influence. It won't make any matter what I say about it, and I don't want to upset other people. I'd rather inspire them to go and grow some potatoes or, smoke their pipes, rather than fearing the world. And then you start to go, well, what do you then talk about? Because I'm aware that the audience have come along. And I suppose one thing I need to do, having worked on it now for 8 months, whatever it is get the book out. And the book is about a positive future, pushing back against the tyranny and the dictatorship and the policies and understanding who and what you are. And hope that people can come together cohesively and make their own rules rather than be dictated by people who have a larger agenda. The archipelago is moving on now above my head. It's more blanket blue, which is very lovely. Although it's lovely and cool out here. I know a lot of people have been moaning about the sunshine. You know, we're a funny old bunch, aren't we? We moan when it's cloudy and damp and go, oh, it's horrible. Then we have a bit of sunshine and they go, oh yeah, it's lovely. And the second day, with that nice sunshine, go, oh, it's too hot.
Allegedly, it's British prerogative.
It's the British prerogative, is it, to moan about the weather? Anyway, so there we are. So I don't know, really, that I feel like all the conspiracy stuff and all that is... We know what's happening in the 15-minute cities and blah, blah, blah. And again, I suppose if people aren't up to speed with it now, if they don't know the vaccines are killers, if they don't know that the government is a corporation and that the UK is a jurisdiction and they don't have to be part of it, how many times have you got to keep saying the same old thing? I know it's a kind of a drip-drip campaign, but surely my audience by now are so familiar with these things that it's become just boring. And what's interesting is most of them don't care. And they care, but they're not doing anything about it. I mean, most of them, what I find staggering is I'll still hear people who understand the name is not them, but they'll go to court and be represented by the name. And you go, well, wait a minute, you, if you're not the name, it's not you. You shouldn't be in court. Hello, who's this coming up?
Someone leaving.
Oh.
Middle
yeah. That's a little excerpt from Alley Watch. Where two nosy neighbours peer out into the little alley at the back of their house and go...
On their way in or out.
I must check it with my little notepad. It's is that what we come down to? I think it possibly is. This hedge here that we have in the back garden, it's not our hedge. It's not really a hedge, it's a creeper. It's I don't know what creeper it is, but it's an invasive creeper that is invading my garden. my neighbours allowed it to, when he rents a house out, for years they've had it, but I have to keep chopping it down and end up with piles and piles of this creeper, because it goes over the fence from their side.
Goes over the fence, through the fence, under the fence, around the fence, every damn which way.
Yeah. It, language. And if you sit here for any length of time, the little feelers at the end, they'll wrap around you. I mean, they wrap around all over the place. I can see them invading the side of the house. I'll have to get up there, because they've got little suckers and stick against the wall. I don't mind a bit of it. I don't mind a bit of it, because it's you know, it's colour, a bit of colour, and it is a bit of shade. But they do get out of control. And as Julia said, they come through the fence at the bottom. I mean, there's one right here next to my logs. And before you know it, you've got a tangle. Now, three or four doors down, there's a lady who is, I don't know whether she's mentally retarded or something, but she has been a bugger in the past with her car parking. But she doesn't have a car now. I think something's happened. But anyway, she has, in her garden, left it. If you ever wanted to know what happens when you do not attend to your garden, nature will invade it. She has a buddleia tree, which must be now about 30 feet, 25 feet, growing out of a crevice in the side of her house, and it is higher than her roof, and she's not done anything about it. It will be pulling off the render and, of course, damaging the infrastructure of the brickwork. And so if it's her house, which I assume it must be, but she's been there about 19 years, 20 years. If she's renting it, then, well, she can't be renting it, because whoever owns it wouldn't have tolerated it, so she must own it. And then the back garden is a jungle. It is a jungle of 12 foot high, all sorts of funny plants, but a lot of buddleias and various things in her little yard, like mine. She hasn't got a shed in the middle of it, so it's just this jungle. And Mojo loves it, because he creeps around in there. I think she's got the black cat, which is a strange cat. It seems a bit unloved, really.
It's not very friendly.
It's not a friendly cat. And he sort of lives in that wild domain. It's most peculiar. It is most odd. So, and my poor neighbour, who we see with her dog, that she has to live next door to it, and, you know, they're a bit worried. Because, again, that will be encroaching. But nature has a powerful way of pulling down man-made structures over time. Yeah, reclaiming its space. And just, well, you know what it's like if you've got a patio and you've got little weeds growing through. Well, if you don't pull them out over a certain period of time, they'll start growing and growing, and you know, what may have been a concrete or a stone thing, the weeds will slowly, over time, break it down. Which is good to know, really. It's good to know that no matter how much we've muck up this world, nature will break it down, and it will all turn back into the earth. Because where else can it go? It's all been extracted one way or another. Obviously, the toxic things will take longer. Some of the plastics and things will take longer, but they will decompose. So, it's nice to know that Mother Earth and Mother Nature, those lovely little twins who live at the bottom of the garden, they have ultimate power, no matter what we do. And so it's just, in a way, quite barking that we fight against it all the time. I always think that's a bit strange, because we may as well work with it and have a much more harmonious life. But anyway,
you wouldn't have to fight against this if it weren't here, because this is not native.
No.
This climbing stretchy thing.
No. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you've got better things to do. We're a bit tired. I'll go and upload this. I don't know when the log man's coming. So I will catch up with you later on. take care, and thank you for listening. Till next time, bye-bye.